and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. And I salve, to anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see. It is written, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. It is written, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. It is written, he that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne.
God is just a prayer away.
And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and have gotten riches, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing near? Entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Lonely without he's staying, lonely within am I. While I am still delaying, he will not pass me by. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, what the Bible says about the modern day church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament tells us in the book of Acts the history of how the church began after the ascension of Jesus to sit at the right hand of God, leaving us the promise of the angels to come again, even as ye saw him going up into heaven. It was on the day of Pentecost the gospel was first preached in its fullness, namely the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, as portrayed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When Peter preached that sermon on that day, the very day the church was born, the inquiring thousands asked what they must do when they realized they had killed the Prince of Life. Peter told those believers in the gospel, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They then that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Peter told them the promise was not only to them, but to all that were afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. But not only does the New Testament reveal the formation of the church of the first century in the book of Acts, all of the epistles are written mainly to churches that tell us what the Lord requires of all churches in every century since, including the 21st century today. The epistle written to the church at Laodicea in Revelation, the third chapter, gives the insights of Jesus about a church consisting of real people in the first century who are amazingly just like many in churches of the 21st century in America today. It was to this church that Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." Now there were two sounds given in that invitation: the sound of the knock and the sound of the voice. The voice identified the knocker. A person might ignore a knock at the door, but to ignore the voice of Jesus is to walk on a slippery slope. Remember, Jesus said he was the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his sheep by name. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It appears the sheep in Laodicea ignored the voice of the shepherd. And that is why Jesus told them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In fact, the Laodicean church was the only church out of seven that was not accused of false doctrine. The reason they had no false doctrine was because they were lukewarm and did not have enough conviction to be concerned about doctrine of any kind, either true or false. They never did anything against the church. Neither did they do anything for the church. They simply did not care one way or the other. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Someone asked a certain preacher one time if it was a sin to drink coffee. He said, "Not as long as it's hot, black, and plenty of it." That's the way the Lord likes his church. He would rather have it hot or cold rather than lukewarm. Yet he still stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." In that sense, the church must be in the mouth of Jesus before he can spew it out. The church preaches the Bible message, and there is not much the Lord can say through a lukewarm church, and that is saying a whole lot about their spiritual condition. Remember, the Lord said, "In the last days, the love of the many shall wax cold." Yet the Lord seems to say he can do more with a church that is in a deep freeze mode than a lukewarm church. Still, he stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The Lord has a lot to say to the world about salvation, but what can he say through a church that is indifferent to the word on the plan of salvation and believes it doesn't make any difference what you believe just so you're sincere? Such a church makes Jesus sick. And yet, he still stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus has a lot to say to the world about contribution of money, but what can he say through a church where most spend more money on booze and tobacco and other entertainment than the kingdom of God? Yet Jesus still stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus has a lot to say to the world about the contents of the Bible, but what can he say to the world through a church that is composed of people who never read the Bible and whose preacher never preaches it? Such a church makes Jesus sick. And yet he stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus has a lot to say to the world about a Christian unity, but what can he say to the world through a church that is splintered and torn by division. And each splinter claims that it is the one true church. Such a church makes the Lord sick. And yet he still stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Actually, it is amazing that this church could be so indifferent. When we note that Paul wrote to a nearby church of the Colossians and told the Colossians, after they read his epistle, to cause it to be read also at the church at the Laodiceans. It is in that epistle that Paul spoke of such matters, of setting your affections on things that are above and not the things on the earth. Also how we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It is in that epistle that Paul told how we are buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. The Laodiceans believed all Paul said in that epistle, which was written for their benefit as well as ours, but paid little attention to it. Still he stands without and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Tacitus, a Roman historian, speaks of the great wealth of Laodicea. A great earthquake hit the city in 60 A.D., and the city was rebuilt by the personal wealth of the population. It really was a rich city. In 79 A.D., a Roman stadium was dedicated to the Emperor Vespasian, where the Laodicean leopards could play the Pergamos ponies. That was the great passion of the Laodiceans at that time when John wrote the book of Revelation. Times have not changed all that much, and still both then and now, Jesus stands without and pleads, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What can the Lord say and do with a church like that? This is the church as Jesus sees it in the 21st century. Jesus saw the church at Laodicea as a lukewarm church, but the church at Laodicea saw themselves as a rich church. They actually said, "I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing." Jesus did not agree. He said, "You are not only not rich, you are poor and blind and naked." There are some things money cannot buy. A report in a national magazine gave the names of the 40 richest men in United States history. Only three are still alive. The average age at death of the 37 was 72 years. Every one of them was worth billions, and yet with all that wealth, they could not buy even 1 year of extra time. While I do not know their spiritual condition and relationship with the Lord, if they could not buy one more minute of life here on earth with all their billions, what chance do they have of buying eternal life beyond the grave, apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Use your money while you're living. Do not hoard it to be proud. You can never take it with you. There's no pocket in a shroud. And this is amazing. We live in the richest age of all time. There never was a time, place, or generation where we would have been born and given more than the church at this time and place and generation. Some people used to live behind what was called at one time the Iron Curtain. And some like us today live behind the plush curtain. Thou sayest, "I am rich." But Jesus said, "You're poor." But he really wants us to be rich. Because he said, "Buy of me gold, that you may be rich." Did you know Jesus wants us to be rich? He wants us to have gold, and he tells us where we can get it. He said, "Buy gold from me. Jesus is qualified to make that statement. Are not the streets of heaven paved with gold? He has plenty of it. Peter tells us how we can get this 24,000 carat gold in his first epistle. He says, "It is the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that is perisheth, though it is proved by fire. Your faith is gold, if you pay the price. He said, buy it from me." How can you buy it? Well, try spend your time with his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that kind of faith is pure gold. Then he said, you're also naked. Jesus looks upon the well-dressed 21st century church as a spiritual nudist colony. Jesus said, thou art naked. He sees it as a naked church. Naked in spite of the fact that it has every right and reason to be spiritually very well clothed. Some might think that to appear naked on the judgment day is no big deal, since others will stand there stripped stark naked also. But such is not the case. When you consider that you will stand naked before the gaze of the holy angels, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Jesus, and the Holy Father, it is then that the prophecy in the book of Daniel will come to pass. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. Jesus died upon the cross naked, so that we might be spiritually clothed, and not stand there naked before the holy angels. The Bible teaches in the book of Romans, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He also said that church was blind and needed to buy some eye salve from him. The people of that time in Laodicea had developed something called the Phrygian eye salve. I don't know what that eye salve was, but it appears Jesus is the only one who has the real eye salve. He has it for sale. He said, buy eye salve for me. Whatever eye salve is, it will help you to see better. The only eye salve I know is the Word of God. And the more time you spend on that eye salve, the better your vision will be in seeing spiritual things. I read that verse one time to a man where Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He looked at it and read it himself, looked up and said, I don't see it. I think he needed to buy some of that eye salve Jesus has for sale. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. When Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, he was not talking about the person outside the church. He was talking to the people inside the church. The picture is the picture here of Jesus standing outside his own church trying to get in. The modern-day church is a church where the Lord himself does not feel welcome. The church gathers together in a service to worship Jesus, but he's not allowed in. But he has not gone far away. He stands just outside, and he continues to knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. So open the door, because your soul is like a house. It may have several doors, a back door, front door, side door. At which door does the Savior knock? At the house of your soul. He may knock at the door of intellect. If you think about it, you know there must be a God. Just look up in the sky and see all the planets. If you admit there is a God, it seems logical that God would not leave us without instructions as to what he expects of us. What other instruction could there be but the Word of God, namely the Bible and the Bible alone? Again, he may knock at the providential door of your soul. You get sick, have an accident, and have a death of a loved one, and you hear the knock on the door of your soul. Then again, it may be that the Lord may knock on the door of conscience. You read the Bible or hear a sermon, maybe even this radio broadcast, and you hear the knocking of Jesus on the door of your heart. Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Although Jesus is standing at the door of your soul and knocking, he will yet stand there again and knock on another occasion at another door. Let Luke tell us the words of Jesus on that matter. Let your loins be girded about, Jesus said, and be ye yourself like unto men looking for the Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh, ye may straightway open unto him. At the second coming or at death, you will hear his voice, and you will open the door when he stands at that door and knocks. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Gives the impression that the Lord wants us to get into his church, and yet there is a warning, too. When we consider what James said, "Murmur not, brethren, one against another, that ye be not judged. Behold, the judge standeth at the doors." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The amazing thing about that statement is the way the next chapter begins. Think of it. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," and then the very next statement in the next chapter is, "After these things I saw, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." If we as a church will open the door and let Jesus in, he will open the door of heaven and let us in. Actually, when the scriptures were written, there were no chapter and verse divisions. It was not until the middle 1200s that the Bible had chapter divisions, and not until the middle of the 1500s that there were verse divisions. Before that time, these verses would read like this: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven." So when we open the door down here for Jesus, he will open the door up there for us. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In the silent midnight watches, list thy bosom door. How it knocketh, 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 knocketh evermore. Say not thy pulse is beating, 'tis thy heart of sin. 'Tis thy Savior knocks and crieth, 'Rise and let me in.' Death comes on with reckless footsteps to the hall or hut. Think you death will tarry knocking where the door is shut? Jesus waiteth, 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 but the door is fast. Grieve away, thy Savior goeth. Death breaks in at last. Then 'tis time to stand entreating to let thee in, at the gate of heaven beating, waiting in thy sin. Nay, alas, thy guilty conscience, hast thou then forgot? Jesus waited long to know thee, now he knows thee not. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.